Good morning, everyone. Could you find a Bible with me, please? My Bible's open to the 10th chapter of John, the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. I'm going to work in this text extensively this morning. Need you to be in John chapter 10 with me this morning. Great crowd today. Beautiful Lord's Day. Lots of folks visiting with us. We're really pleased that you're here. If you are visiting with us today, please stick around a little bit. We want to shake your hand. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better, make you feel at home here. Indeed, if you have come to seek the Lord and to serve Him, to do what the New Testament teaches us as New Testament Christians, we hope you already feel at home in this place as we try to do exactly those things. Would you read with me in John chapter 10 now? Let's get started. Let's see what the Word of the Lord has for us in John chapter 10. Reading in verse 1, truly, truly, Jesus says, John 10 verse 1, truly, truly, I say unto you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. The truth of the matter is, lots of times we're in John 10, verse 6. We talk about what a great teacher Jesus is, and he was absolutely the best teacher. And we revel in his teachings, and we read his teachings, and we study his teachings, and we want to know more about his teachings, because he is the master teacher. But sometimes, all that said, we don't understand what he was saying to us. We read John 10 on Friday. But what exactly is going on here in John chapter 10? Particularly when Jesus goes on from there to say in verse 7, Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What? You're what? I thought you were the shepherd. You're the door? How does that work? I think there are different reasons why people misunderstand Jesus. And maybe primarily here in John chapter 10, what you're looking at is people who don't want to understand Jesus. They did not have difficulty understanding about sheep and shepherds and sheepfolds. They knew all of that. Nobody here in John 10 is saying, what's a sheep? I don't know what that... No, they don't want Jesus to be the shepherd. But sometimes, maybe because we are separated by time and cultures and life is different here in the big city than it would be on a sheep farm, maybe some of that is a barrier to understanding. And maybe... maybe because we're not entirely sure where Jesus is going with all of this. We struggle a little bit with this parable that's almost inside of a parable. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And then the next thing he says, I am the door. It's like, wait a minute, are you the shepherd or are you the door? Which is it? It's like a little parable inside a bigger parable. But it's an important saying of Jesus. Because when Jesus says, I am the door, that's one of the I am sayings. Jesus uses those rarely. There are only seven. Seven in the Gospel of John. And most of those are super famous. I am the resurrection and the life, John chapter 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John chapter 14. I am the light of the world. But this is one of those seven. It's just not very famous, is it? Maybe because we're not entirely sure what Jesus meant. I should have asked Dave to lead the song, I am the door, but there isn't such a song, is there? There's not. Because we're not entirely sure in the middle of all these sheep what Jesus means when he talks about being a door. Do you think of Jesus as being a door? What is he saying? This morning, we would try to better understand what Jesus means in this great I am statement. I want to know why Jesus said that, and I want to know what it means for my relationship with him. And most importantly, I want to know how to go through that door. That's what this is all about. So think with me a little bit this morning about Jesus saying, I am the door. What does that mean? Perhaps we would be helped just a little bit with a little bit of background here. A word or two perhaps about sheepfolds. The word for sheepfold in Texas is corral. That's what this is. It is a corral, and there were different kinds in New Testament times. Some families corralled their sheep in the courtyard of the house. Houses then had an open courtyard where you cooked, and people would keep a couple of sheep in there at night. There were also community sheepfolds, big corrals, and all of the shepherds at the end of the day, everybody would bring their flock and put them all in there. Well, you think, how can you do that? How are you going to get your sheep back out of there? You can't brand sheep. That ruins the wool. How are you going to do that? There are lots of accounts of people who have traveled to Palestine and seen Bedouin shepherds to this day who know their sheep and know their sheep very well, and their sheep know them and they know their voice. And all of these flocks will be in this big giant corral, and a shepherd will come and the gate is open and the shepherd will call his sheep, just start shouting their names. And out of this giant flock of corralled sheep, out will come one. And then he'll call another name, and out'll come another, and out'll come another. Exactly the thing that Jesus says in John chapter 10. To him, verse 3, the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Flocks in New Testament times were relatively small. The shepherd knew his sheep, and the sheep knew their shepherd. There is a theme here, by the way, of trust. Isn't there? In fact, maybe in some ways, since we're using ranching language like corral, maybe instead of door, maybe the word is gate. Does that help some to think in those kinds of terms? What also helps us here in John chapter 10 is to know the context. Context always matters when we're studying the Bible, but the context here is enormously important. Do you know where Jesus is in John chapter 10 when he's talking about this, and who he's talking to and who is standing there? Jesus is in Jerusalem. That begins in chapter 7. I need you to step back in John's gospel. Stay with me here. This is in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, I'm reading about verse 14. In John chapter 7 and verse 14, Jesus, we are told, in John 7 and verse 14, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. Jesus is teaching in Jerusalem. And one of the questions that Jesus is often being asked to address, and there's accusations about some things, is about the Sabbath. But Jesus is talking and proclaiming, verse 28, Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me and you know where I came from. I've not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know." There is controversy about Jesus. Verse 32, the Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. And so people are talking about Jesus in Jerusalem. Verse 40, when they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." But others people said, "This is the Christ." And some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee?" So Jesus is in Jerusalem, and he's teaching openly, and there's lots of discussion about that, which leads us right into chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus is still in the temple, and Jesus says in John 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said, "You're just bearing witness to yourself." And this war of words, this running battle between him and the religious authorities of the day, begins to heat up. Verse 20, these words Jesus spoke in the treasuries, he taught in the temple. Still in Jerusalem, aren't we? And they're still going back and forth. Verse 30, though, says, as he was saying these things, many people were believing in him. So Jesus said in verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you'll truly be my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Set you free? Hey, us Jews, we don't need that kind of freedom. Verse 33, we are the offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you'll set us free? See, that controversy begins to really heat up. Verse 39, Abraham is our father. That's what they want to say. Jesus says, Abraham is your father. No, if you were Abraham's children, you would not be doing the work. You would do the works that Abraham did. You wouldn't be trying to kill me. Wow, really starting to get tight here. Verse 44, you're not Abraham's children. You are of your father, the devil. How about that? And then things go white hot at the end of chapter 8. In John 8 and 58, Jesus said unto them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to stone him. Wow. This is some religious controversy. So in chapter 9, as he passed by what? As he passed by the temple there in Jerusalem. That's where Jesus is. He saw a man blind from birth. And Jesus healed that man, yes. And that man begins to talk about Jesus and that he was healed. And those Pharisees, the guys with the rocks in their hands, they came to him. Verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made mud and spread it upon his eyes. So the Pharisees, John 9:15, so the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I wash and I see." And the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God." Yeah, we don't know what happened to you, buddy. We don't like this Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that fellow's kind of flummoxed. What do you mean he's not from God? This man gave me the gift of sight. Verse 28, they reviled him though. They said, "You're his disciples. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he's come from." The man who'd been born blind said, "Well, that's an amazing thing. You don't know where he comes from? He opened my eyes." We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. If anyone's a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world has begun has it been heard that someone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin. Would you teach us?" They cast him out. Getting the flavor here? Because now we're almost to John 10, aren't we? Jesus heard they cast him out. He said, verse 35, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He said, "Who is he that I may believe him?" Verse 37, "You have seen him. It is he who's speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." He worshiped him. That's faith. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who don't see may see, and those who see may become blind." And some of the Pharisees, there they are, heard these things and they said, "Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you'd have no guilt. But now you say we see, and so your guilt remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who doesn't enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man's a thief and a robber." Now, do you see what Jesus is talking about? When you back up and get a load of this context, it becomes quite clear that this is about leaders and about leadership. This is about the Pharisees wanting to be the shepherds of the people and wanting the people to follow after them. And Jesus is exposing them as false and fake shepherds who do not care about the things of God, who do not want to lead the people closer to the Lord, but instead intend only to exploit people for their own gain and to boost their own position. These Pharisees want everyone to follow them, and they resent Jesus so deeply because Jesus is more popular than they are, and Jesus is taking the place in the minds and hearts of people, the place that they want. But Jesus says they're not good shepherds. They are not good shepherds. They are, verse 1, thieves and robbers. They are, verse 5, strangers. Jesus wants people to see these Pharisees for who they really are and for what they really are. Maybe if the Texas word for sheepfold is corral, the Texas word for these bad shepherds is rustler. That's what they are. They don't intend to help the flock. They don't intend to do what's best for the flock. They intend to use the flock for their own gain. In fact, Jesus will conclude these parables in verse 10 and 11. "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, who doesn't own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and he flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd." Jesus doesn't say, "You know what? These Pharisees, they're not quite as good as me. I'm an A double plus shepherd." They're kind of like, oh, maybe an A minus. No. Jesus says there aren't real shepherds at all. And John is helping us by recording this. He's helping us to see that we can't follow fake shepherds who would exploit us, but we must instead give our allegiance to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is the way. Verse 7. So Jesus said again, "Truly I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill. I came that they may have life and they might have it more abundantly. Now that text is starting to resonate. And we're starting to understand some things about what Jesus is saying. Maybe we experience some confusion here because Jesus in one time is saying, I'm the shepherd. And then in a moment he's saying, I'm the door. Okay, which is it? You the gate? Are you the door? Are you the shepherd? What are you doing here? But a fellow traveled to Palestine in the 1800s. And as he was journeying in Palestine, he came across a Bedouin shepherd who showed him the small corral, the sheepfold that he used with his flock. This wasn't that big community sheepfold where everybody put all their sheep. It was out of ways, where the shepherd would be alone with just him and his sheep. And the man showed him the fold in which he led his sheep at night, four walls and a way in. And the English fellow said, is this where they go at night? And the shepherd said, yes. And when they are in here, they are perfectly safe. But the traveler said, there's no door. There is no door. The shepherd said, I am the door. He was not a Christian. And he wasn't using the language of the Bible. He was talking shepherding and sheep. The traveler said, what do you mean by the door? The shepherd said, when it is night and the light is gone and all the sheep are inside, I lie down in that open space. And no sheep ever goes out but across my body. And no wolf could ever come in unless he comes through me. I am the door. So while we think of doors physically and physical gates, it is just true that Jesus actually can be the door or the gate while he is being our shepherd. He is the one that is protecting us, and he is the one that we are going through. Look again at verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. There was no end to messianic pretenders in New Testament times. No end to people who claim to be the Messiah. Jesus says you can't listen to those people. They are not the anointed one of God. And there was no shortage of false teachers, false shepherds, especially, as I said, in this context, these Pharisees who have bitterly opposed Jesus at every turn. Jesus says they are not true shepherds. They do not, verse 1, come into the sheepfold through me. I am the door, verse 7. And furthermore, verse 9, I am the door so that sheep can go in and out and find pasture. The expression in and out is a marvelous, marvelous Old Testament expression. It means going in and out, being able to come and go, means to find the prosperous life, to be safe and secure. That's why Jesus says, go in and out, and then the next thing he says in verse 10 is that you could find and have life and have it abundantly. Abundant pasture is the idea. Going through Jesus and you will find all that you are made to do and to be. Jesus opens up for us all that life should be. That's why as sheep, we don't want to climb over the walls of the corral. We want to go through Jesus to the good life, to abundant pasture. And we want to be sure that we're not following a fake shepherd. So let's see if we can work with all of that. That's a lot to think about as we think about these woolly-headed sheep. How does all of that affect us today? And what kind of things would we say that help us? First and foremost, as we take these ideas home with us today, it's important to realize there's one door. One. Not many. There is one door. If you want to find God, if you want to be secure spiritually, if you want eternity in heaven, there is exactly and precisely one way to God. All of this imagery, shepherd and sheepfold and gate, it all works together to make this point. In verse 3, the shepherd is calling and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. Now in verse 7, 8, and 9, Jesus is that entryway, the doorway, the gateway by which the sheep can find safety in the fold and pasture where they can be safe and secure. All of it works together to say what? If you want to know God, if you want to find God, if you want to be spiritually safe and secure and abundantly for all of eternity, the only way to do that is to go through Jesus Christ. Jesus and Jesus alone. I am the door, not one of many doors, not one option of several. I am the door. I am the door. If anyone, verse 9, enters by me, he will be saved. What folks say about that is that, well, that's just narrow. That's just intolerant. But when the truth is revealed, that which is not truth is also seen to be what? To be false. And who wants what is false? When there's an investigation of a murder going on and the police find evidence, DNA evidence or a fingerprint, and from all of that they put together an ironclad case and they know who the guilty party is, the truth is seen, who committed this crime. All the other folks who were suspects, they don't say, what do you mean they arrested that guy? That's so narrow and intolerant. I wish they'd keep questioning me. No. No. They are glad that the truth is known. And so what is not true? I'm not the murderer. That's not true. We are glad that the truth reveals who did it, and the truth reveals then who didn't do it, so that we can stand in the truth. That's how truth works. It is narrow. It is intolerant of error and falsehood and what is not so. So one scholar said, when the true way is revealed, it becomes impossible to be tolerant of false ways that can only lead to error and disaster. So when we see Jesus as the way, yes, we see that every other way is insufficient and won't work and won't lead to eternity with God. That is narrow because truth is narrow. In fact, John 10:7 and John 10:9 sets the stage for Jesus to say in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But even as I say that Jesus is the way, unfortunately I need to tell you this, there's always going to be fakers. And there's always going to be deceivers who are not the way, but they want us to believe in them. They want us to follow them instead of the true shepherd. They want us to go through them instead of the door. You see that in John 9. Jesus heals that man, and he's trying to give glory to God, and he's trying to give glory to Jesus Christ, but all along the way, the Pharisees are ridiculing him and putting pressure upon him and throwing their weight around and even using his parents against him to try to suppress that and to keep that from getting out and anybody to know who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And that's still going on today. There are false shepherds everywhere. There are political leaders who do not agree with what Jesus says about the nature of marriage, one man and one woman for one life. And so political pressure is brought on those who will not conform to the line of today and the way things are now. There are false shepherds who even in the name of Christianity have the fun and games church where they are doing everything but what the New Testament church did. But it's so exciting and it's so much fun and everybody's going there. But they do not teach the truth about salvation. They do not worship according to the pattern of the New Testament. They are not drawing people to Jesus Christ. They are drawing people to themselves as they water the gospel down. There are the false shepherds of other religions, like Islam, that would tell you that Jesus is not even divine. He was just a prophet. Or the Near Eastern religions that deny the deity of Jesus Christ, and all is God and God is all, and the things that go with that. People follow that. There's atheistic shepherds today who want to undermine faith in God itself and faith in God's Word. There are lots of people who will lead you. Come and follow after me. Lots of people who are, verse 5, strangers. that we must not follow. Instead, we must flee from them. We don't know their voice. They want to take us from the sheepfold. They want to take us from Jesus, verse 1. But we will hear the voice of Christ, verse 3, and we will remain with Jesus. They can't take us from the Lord then. Because Jesus is the door. And if you don't go through Him, we're just not going to listen to you. What a powerful lesson for our young people. Our young people come here Sunday after Sunday where our elders have so carefully labored and worked to make sure that what we are doing here in spirit and in truth is according to the New Testament pattern. But young people, a day comes, you're going to be somewhere else besides Irving, Texas. You're going to be in the military. You're going to be in a university. You're going to be in a college. You're going to have to get yourself up. You're going to have to find yourself a church. What will you find? What you need to find is given to us here in John chapter 10, because the test, the acid test, is not, are all these folks really friendly? Is this where everybody's going? Is this super popular? The test is what? The test is John 10 verse 1. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door. Does this teaching come through Jesus? Is this church following after Jesus? Is this church doing what Jesus says? Verse 7. I'm the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Is it possible this is a thief and robber church? Because they did not enter through Jesus. They are not teaching the will of Jesus. They are not teaching the words of Jesus. They are not truly following Jesus. Verse 9, I'm the door. The way to salvation is only through Jesus. That's the test. That's what we're looking for. And so Jesus says, verse 9, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. That links to verse 10. I came that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. This may be the hardest part of this for us. Yes, Jesus is the way. Yes, Jesus is the door. Yes, oh, certainly. I see all of that. Let me ask you, do you really believe that Jesus is the door? He is the gate to the abundant life. Careful now. The word abundant here is a term that means beyond, more, utterly and completely. Extraordinary. You believe that? Life in Christ. If I follow Jesus, if I go through Jesus, my life will become more. My life will become extraordinary. I will know the abundant life. You believe that? Some Christians don't. You know what they believe about Christianity? That Christianity is cramping and confining. That it restricts me from really doing and being everything that I want to do. Because they are longing for sinful pleasures. You know what happens to those sheep? They try to climb out of the corral. They don't want to go through Jesus. They try to make their own door, so they can find their own way to sinful pleasures, to do what their flesh craves. Because they do not trust the Lord, that if they will do things Jesus' way, if they will follow after Jesus, if they will go through the gate that Jesus is, they can find there a greater life than any sinful pleasure would ever offer them. So they seek their own way. But it won't work, and it cannot work, and it never works, because there's only one way to abundant living. Only one way to more, to extraordinary, to better. Jesus. Jesus is that way. You believe that? Do you believe that if you trust your life with Jesus, your life will become abundant? Not the circumstances of your life. Don't be confused. People who have followed Jesus and have gone through that door have been persecuted and put to death. That's circumstances that aren't really great. But do you believe that if you follow Jesus, you go through that door, your life inside, your heart, your spirit, your contentment will become abundant and more? Do you believe that? Or will you try to forge your own kind of abundant life on your own terms, in your own way, because you don't want to enter by Jesus, because you don't want to go in and out through Jesus, because you don't want to follow Jesus' way? And if that's you, then you need to know. You're not ever going to find the abundant life. Jesus is the door to in John chapter 10. One more verse and the lesson is yours. If you'll look at the end of this text, in verse 19, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. And some of them said, "He has a demon," John 10:20. "He's insane. Why do we listen to him?" There were people who refused to believe in Jesus. They did not want to hear that he was the good shepherd, and they refused to go through him. They refused to believe that he was the door, the gate, the access point to eternal and abundant life. But look at verse 21. Others said, "These aren't the words of one who's oppressed by a demon. What are you talking about? No demon-possessed person talks like this. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Oh, it's not always easy to get Jesus. You got to pay attention. You got to think. You got to listen. But some of those folks, they were doing that. And if you will, if you'll try, you can understand Jesus. And not just intellectually, but at a heart level where you are persuaded to trust him. So the chapter ends, verse 42, "Many believed in him there." Sometimes you have to listen hard. Sometimes you really have to think. But if you will turn away from false shepherds, you can turn to him. And through him, you can find abundant life. Through him, you can find eternal life. Because Jesus said, "I am the door." Will you enter by him? Will you enter by him? Let's pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we give you honor and glory and praise that you sent your Son to this wicked world where he was opposed and met with hostility and ridicule and hatred. And we are thankful for the courage of your Son and his proclamation from John chapter 10. Help us, Father, to better understand all that Jesus means, to be the door, the gateway to eternal life, and even more, the door, the gateway to eternal safety, and even more, the gateway, the door to truly living, abundant living. Help us, Father, to stop making our own doors, and to go through your Son that we might find life and have it more abundantly. It is in the name of the Good Shepherd. It is in the name of the one who is the door that we pray. In Jesus' name, and amen.